Hey, hey, hey.
Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and I'm with your other hostess, Stephanie.
Hi, Kat! Hi, everyone!
Welcome back! We're actually podcasting. That's amazing! You know what else is amazing? We're podcasting about our show.
I know.
Glam!
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, you know, when this show first aired, there wasn't as many good shows on TV as it is now. And so we got a chance to give Grimm a chance. Mm-hmm. One of these chance in a sense twice, whatever. And, you know, I feel like maybe it had a unique start and we had lots of opinions about it. But it ended up going on for 5 years, the Grimm Show, and it's going to have its final season. And I think it had a good run, even with 5 years. Like, I don't think it should last longer than 5 years. And I think it's run its course. I'm not bored with it, but, you know, I feel okay with it just kind of coming to an end at this point.
I'm running low on bandwidth. Like you said, there are too many really good competing shows out there, and yeah. Grimm is definitely one of the better ones on network television, but I've been consumed with streaming media shows and, you know, basically Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon shows. But yeah, Grimm is yum. I'm really glad that we're doing this podcast because we need to show it a little love. And because Grimm obviously listens to us. as per usual, the people are totally listening to us and listening to our ideas.
Well, they haven't listened in a while because we haven't podcasted about them in a long time. So they probably thought we stopped watching, but we haven't. We're up to date. We've been watching the whole time.
We are up to date.
Yeah.
People of Grimm. We're up to date.
Yeah. So I think with that, there were some things that happened that we just really never got a chance to discuss. The breakup of Juliet and freaking Nick, which I thought was heartbreaking. And I thought that when she died, I wish she kind of would have stayed dead because this Eve thing is weird. Right? It's like the ex-girlfriend that's just the ghost of an ex-girlfriend just kind of hovering around, you know, being weird. And it's. I mean, I'm glad the actress still has work, but it's kind of like bizarre. Like she can't even move on.
It's like your ex-boyfriend moving away to New York to be somebody and then coming back a failure and deciding to go by a completely different name.
But live That's in like the same neighborhood that you live in, and then like is contact you, and you see him on the street, and he has blonde hair,
but... and he's pretending not to know you and to kill you a couple times. It's just very strange.
And then like smoking out of a witch hat, and then turning into Renard.
Not again. We're in Portland. Not weird here.
Smoking out of a witch hat.
Totally feasible.
Out of a witch hat.
It's feasible, okay? That's all I'm going to say. I'm a government worker. I cannot say anything else other than I may or may not have witnessed something similar to that on accident.
Oh, my God.
It's just... Whatever. And it's all over the place. Like, on the street, people are just like, oh, hey, did you need a secondhand high? No, I did not. I'm here just breathing the natural air. Thank you very much. Oh, on my way to work, also. So...
Oh, I'm gonna miss the Portland in this show. Like, we don't have... another Portland sci-fi funky weird show with its own little language and its own little quirkiness or whatever, and that is really what I'm gonna miss the most about Grimm. Its own little mythology grew, and they had a war, and of course Nick's mom died by decapitation as
that
a result.
Was awesome. That was so great. I loved
that. Her mom died by decapitation.
That was such a plot twist. I don't know, for network television, especially for Grimm, which is, it like walks the line. It's like cheesy one minute and kind of trying to be serious the next minute. But I think the grimmiest Grimm moments are when it's kind of cheesy or slightly, like you said, making fun of Portland. That's super Grimm. Like when Sergeant Wu makes a little quip about, really, you're going to have to narrow your search because a naked man walking around a park in Portland isn't so strange. You know?
That's kind of stuff is easy. Oh my God. We learned his name. His name is Drew Wu. Oh my God. I don't even think he was supposed to be a regular, but I'm so glad. Like when it first started, he was just like the cop in the background, but they kind of like embraced him and brought him on. And I'm so glad.
Yeah. It's because one of our final episodes talking about Grimm, we were like, if Wu doesn't get drawn into the fold pretty soon, we're gonna stop watching. And then boom, Wu is there. We kept
around. But I feel like we complained about Juliet and then they gave us this bittersweet weird thing.
Don't you remember us positing all of the cool different things that could happen? Like, so remember when Juliet was going through that snooze of a story arc regarding her amnesia, and we're like, oh my God, anything but this, either kill her off or make her evil. Do you remember this?
Yes.
You're welcome, Grimm people listening. You're welcome. And it happened. The Eve thing is a little strange. Like, she could have kept on being Juliet, but whatevs, if she needs to be.
Well, no, because then he had to do the thing with Adeline, and that's making me very uncomfortable. Like, they're just...
they're a thing. I like Adeline a lot. I just don't know that I like Adeline and Nick together. It's just very weird.
Yeah, I like her separate, but, like, now there's, like, little chance of her getting back, of Juliet getting back with Nick the way she's supposed to be, because Adeline just moved on in. She had babies and shit. And I'm just like... what the hell has happened? Why is this happening to my show? And Nick is just like, yeah, whatever. You know, what?
I know.
Whatever.
Nick's like, oh, we have a storied past, but I'd F ya.
I'm just like, what is happening right now? And then, you know, Juliet's around and she's in the basement drawing on freaking walls and whatnot. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening here.
I honestly don't get that plot very well. I don't understand why. In order to find a prediction date on this weird calendar, she had to go via some stick portal to the other world. Like, it's just
But Nick was like, the stick was good at first. It was a healing stick, and then they made it this weird death. A addiction stick, and it's weird now.
They did that though already with the Nazi coins. Like, we've already had this relic coins of power in the past, and the one true ring that has to be in the right hands before evil can take over. Yeah, I mean, we've done that. I don't understand why we need another calendar stick to the portal. It's just so very complicated. And you know what's making it like, okay, so the gravitas was there until child actor came along and stopped growing. Like, she should be an adult by now. They rapidly aged her to this, I think, 9-year-old. I mean, she seems like she's 9,
that's
yet
the
her lines.
Kid ever. She
Diana's lines
kid.
Are like super. I'm actually 5 years old, but I'm in the body of a 9-year-old, and by the way, I was an infant a season ago, and magically stopped growing, and am not this full-fledged woman lady yet, because that would be weird. I don't know. It's a lot. It is a lot to handle at once. Like, Renard, is he good or bad? I'm so over it.
Oh my God, what is it? You know, I just stopped paying attention to whether he was good, bad, ugly or whatever, because he just He took his shirt off more this season than I think any other season. It just found, I mean, I think he found more excuses than Kirk did.
I know. Well, you know what, though? I have seen him at the naked bicycle race. Oh, my God. Yes, indeed. You can take off your clothes. That is so cool. You have an amazing
Portland
body. Oh, my God.
Is up with Portland.
The Grimcast, they've participated a couple of times, but of course Renard did because that he
dude loves to be naked. So
well, the naked bike ride. It happens.
Like
every
totally
year.
Naked?
Yeah. It happens at night. There's like a secret date. Nobody knows exactly when it's going to happen. And then they send out a little like broadcast to everybody who's participating. And then like the route, because they keep the route secret from year to year. And then just randomly you'll be doing your thing. And then all of these naked people will go along on bikes.
Wow.
And it was
Portland.
Like, extra bonus that Renard was just swinging in the breeze nakedly on a bike. That was surreal.
Let's just sit with this for a second. Wow. Wow.
I know. It was shirtless rage, but on a bike.
Oh my God, this show. How are they? We need a spinoff. What can spin off here?
Oh my God, they're totally going to spin off something. I hope that they spin off with Monroserly. Because
with the three
of
kids?
All of the. Of all of the couples in this show, Monroserly, they're the most believable.
Yeah.
For sure. And I care about what happens to them. Although, I will say, so we've been kind of making fun of Grimm for a time.
Well, because we love it.
Reason. Yeah, with good reason. However, they have done so many right things, like so many really good things. The character development for this ensemble cast has been amazing. I care about every single person in this ensemble. And I think it helps that they're really active in the community here as well. They go to children. I work on a hill with a bunch of hospitals, including a children's hospital. They're there visiting children. Aww. Yeah, they do that kind of stuff. And so they've been kind of pillars of the community here, and it kind of, like, their normal characters, they kind of show through or shine through in their roles on TV. And it's just really cool. I mean, obviously, sometimes people are evil and sometimes they aren't, but I guess all the way through you're rooting for them, whether or not they're good or evil, because just of the nature of these actors in general. It's just really, they're really kind-hearted. Cool. And you want them to survive, including Juliet. Eve. Like, you just want them to survive. Anyway, so that's a really good thing that they've consistently done throughout the seasons. As they've added more and more people into the fold, they've thoroughly developed these characters such that you care about them, you want them to live, and you want to know what's going to happen next. So I think Monroserly, probably the best chance at a spinoff. They're going to leave soon. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm going to be really sad if they take it out of Portland, but that's kind of what sounds like is going to happen, that they're going to take this move somewhere else out of Portland.
Yeah, but where can they move that would be equally weird? The only other place I can think of is maybe Austin, Texas.
Yeah, maybe, but there aren't as many creepy woods out that way. I mean, it is hill country Texas, but man,
you got a lot of creepy shacks.
You eventually come visit me, you will see all of the creepy forests here. Like, you totally would
believe. I tried to set a date to come visit you. You was like, oh, just visit me next year. And I'm just like, damn.
Well, come visit me at when Grimm says goodbye. And then we'll have a little thing together.
That's
in any case,
soon.
I'm going to be sad. I'm just rambling now. Yeah. I'm going to be sad when Portland is out of the picture, because Portland has been such its own character in the show.
Yeah.
But I really think Monroserly is going to be a part of the spinoff. I hope Hank is.
Wait, you already building a spinoff?
I want, because you know it's going to happen, and it can't be Nick. Like, Nick can't be the centerpiece of that show anymore, right? So It's
Are we bored with Nick? I mean, I like Nick. He's gotten so much better. And when he did his shirtless thing, like, it was like he was shirtless and then it was Renard shirtless and it was so good. It was like them together, like they're this, it's just like you can have the best of both worlds. Like Nick and he's just like making short jokes, self-deprecating short jokes. I'm like, baby, you don't have to do that. You're great. You don't have to be tall like Renard. You,
oh no, boy, that is a pretty man. That is a pretty person.
Wow.
So,
I mean, you don't have to take your shirt off to have a good time.
Listen, most everybody on that show is pretty in person. Most everybody. God.
Okay. Let's talk about season six. So what happened was we had this big thing with, let's see, what do they call the resistance? And the Royals and the Black Claw and this whole war between Grimm and not Grimm. And it all came to a head. People died. Meisner died. I love that guy.
I know.
Yeah. And they kept him around as a ghost, which was, you know, whatever. But that's fine. Renard got to take his shirt off for some reason or another in regards to Meisner. But... that led into season six. So season five, I think, had the strongest
finale,
the strongest theme or whatever. And then season six, I feel like the writers know that everything's coming to an end. So I really don't. I'm not gonna say they're not giving their all with this hell stick storyline or whatever. But I mean, it's a little bit interesting, but I don't think it's gonna have a good payoff, you know, or it might not. I don't know if it is or not. I'm not sure. But I mean, what do you think about, or how do you feel about, like, this season so far? I wouldn't say I hated it or anything like that, but I don't feel the big bad as much as I did last season.
Yeah, I feel like this season they're trying to wrap things up. However, that's a lot of stuff to wrap up. They had a lot of loose ends. And so then as they're wrapping things up, it seems kind of like, I don't know, unbelievable, contrived. Like the end of last season where Nick's job and reputation and everything was in peril and he's, you know, fighting to make sure that Renard doesn't get into this power position. And then they did the smoking of the hat thing and switch everything. Like, that was all super cool. But the resolution of that.
Oh, yeah. I get my job back. And so does Wu convenient. And Hank.
That seemed super convenient. Like, oh, wow. Back to status quo. Just kidding. You guys aren't really enemies anymore, even though nobody took a spell of forgetting. Or, like, it was resolved really strangely.
Well, you know, they tend to forget strong things. Like, Nick totally forgot that him and Juliet was a strong thing for most of the time. And now it's just like, hey, Adeline, I love you now. And then you look at... I don't even know. But yeah, I agree with you. Go ahead.
The Renard thing was just really strange for me because, okay, all right, so immediately everything's resolved. And then we enter season six in this really strange blended family mode where Adeline and Renard are sharing their strange hell child. And it's like completely normal, modern family-esque, and Nick's like, oh, hey, I'm your mom's new boyfriend, and I know that you could kill me with your mind, but all this is somehow working out. And then Renard's like, oh, hey, no hard feelings, you just fucked up my whole fucking life last season, but what if I have this amazingly expensive house that I don't know how I'm actually paying for on a chief salary or whatever the hell he is. It's just like, what police officer makes that kind of money?
He's like a king, though. He's from royalty, so he just kind of has...
Who even knows? That house is amazingly expensive. Anyway, yeah, so all of this is kind of super hard to believe. And then Trouble is like, oh, hey guys, I'm here briefly, I'm growing out my hair, and I'm gonna go leave now again, bye.
Yes, she ended up liking her character a lot.
Thank you. Despite her terrible name, I really, really like her. Yeah. As a character, a person.
Maybe she could be the spinoff.
I hope she gets a spinoff. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what they're doing right now, is shooting her spinoff or something. But she can't support a spinoff all on her own, though. She needs some grim help characters like Wu and Hank. Like, all but the then, people
so,
basically.
So, what, you don't want the show to end because Nick has to be there if Hank is there, if Wu is there, if Monrosalie is there. Like, you just want Grimm to continue. I think I do.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier before whatever issues we arose. We were talking about how Nick can't come along to on a spinoff, because then what is the point of a spinoff? Like, why not just continue Grimm? So, I mean, he might make guest appearances or whatever, but he can't be the main character of a spinoff because he's already the main character.
There will be no show. I'm so sad.
Want it to happen. I hope it does.
I don't think we have anything convincing, like, because what could we do? I don't know.
We'll see. So that plot was weird, super convenient, and then they do like throwaway episodes.
They had a lot to do with like children being abused, like children. Like, there was like a real big theme of children being killed, children being taken, and all this. I'm just like, geez, man, this is weird. You know, my favorite episode was the Mexican wrestler mask episode. Do you remember
that was
one?
A good one.
That one was like my favorite. I really like that enjoyed one that one. Yeah. I think that was last season, might have been. I'm not sure. They all kind of blend together to me, but
I wonder. This might be maybe the whole like dictator coming into power kind of racist via Vesson, like maybe that just got a little too close to home around election time, because all of that was happening when Renard was being elected. Do you remember that?
No.
So maybe they decided to
Renard wasn't racist.
Well, he was trying to make the Vesson come into power, and
he didn't seem like his full heart was into it. He felt like he wanted to be in the power, and he just didn't want the royals to kept messing with him. You know, they kept messing with him. He was the bastard. He only hit half his face vogued. You know what I'm saying? And
well, okay, so maybe if he wasn't like full on racist, he might have been complicit, because he definitely had some super racist people. And by racist, I just mean in the show where Vesson are kind of
there's like pure blood or pure traditionalist, blah blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those people.
They had that bubbling up to the surface in the show. I wonder if they stopped that after the actual election stuff was going on.
Who knows? I mean, it's not an original thought, so who knows? Yeah. I don't know. What?
I don't know. I just know that whole thing died super quickly. And then the way they resolved it this last episode with Diana beating the shit out of that one dude. Diana is super violent. And by the way, hello, she's homicidal. She killed Bonaparte through her dad, which is super weird. And no one commented. One has said a thing.
Because they're She's afraid like of her. They're afraid of her. They're afraid to discipline her because they know that she can kill them with her mind.
Yet they're doing this weird back and forth mommy daddy visitation time and make me chocolate cookies for breakfast and all this. Yet she can literally kill people, and they're not even mentioning that.
I mean, what can you do? She can kill you. What can you do? You gotta just roll with it. So speaking of this latest episode, this latest episode, what was it called? It had to be called like Cupid's,
like Love Potion Cupid number 9.
It was called Blind. Come on, girl. It's blind. It was called Blind Love. It was called Blind Love. And so this, I have to say, was you can tell that everybody was just having fun with the characters. They were just like, it's about to end. Let's just screw it. Let's have a whole really good time. And I gotta tell you, it was hilarious. Now, so if we get the Diana story out of the way. Now, when she first got kidnapped, and then Renard was like all panicking and he picked up the phone and hung it up and he was like, I'm just going to sit back. I was just like, what a horrible father. What is he doing? Right? Did he turn evil again?
Then you recall just how terrifying this like 5-year-old vocabulary, but 9-year-old body child. It's just, she's terrifying.
And she kicked and then his ass. She, and I'm glad. She has this,
like, sing-songy, like, oh, hi, daddy. Like, ah, no, creepy child, please exit to the left. Daddy.
I'd like to have a little bit more fun. Oh, baby, yeah. Don't you know you had enough fun for one day? We can get back to him later. And I was just like, what is happening?
Daddy, what? I don't know what the Geneva Convention is. Let me brutalize this person some more. Like, come on! Ah! I'm so kidding! How are you okay as a parent when you're like, okay?
excuse me, this asshole kidnapped her out of her home, his home, took her to a warehouse, called up Renard and said, if you don't make me captain, I'm gonna kill your daughter. She had full right to go full in on his ass. It was.
Okay. At what point, though, does it stop being self-defense and it's like more like a cat playing around with a barely alive bird?
He was alive.
I said barely alive. You know what was
he'll be all right. He'll know next time not to do that shit.
I'm just saying that was a very strange ending to that whole uprising of the extreme Vessin racists. Like, that was a very strange ending for that.
Well, and that was like the second ending, wasn't it? Because the first ending was with Renard and Meisner in the parking lot and him killing two guys. I forgot.
Another thing. People, there's so much homicide happening on this show, and it's just willy-nilly. Like that one, the dude, the Cupid guy, who did the whole spell on in the champagne. Man, they just totally killed him.
He put a knife to a girl's throat, and he was gonna kill her. And he fell to his death. Accidentally.
Oh my God.
It was an accident.
And they were just like, well, another Vessin out of the way. Yeah, vermin. Yeah. Like, what?
You know what? He was being mean because, like, I'm going to tell you, when they started ranging this episode and they was like, we're going to put hair or whatever and make everybody drink and somebody's going to fall in love with some, I was like, oh my God, this is going to get crazy. I enjoy people who were not supposed to be with another person going after that person, but I really think they missed out and they played it too safe because they didn't put Hank with anybody and they
he was my favorite.
I know, and then I was like, I wanted them to put Hank with somebody because it'll be like interracial and it'll be all like controversial, but what he did instead was so much better.
If you look, I went back and rewatched that whole series, like that whole little sequence of him just loving himself in the mirror. And he's like singing to himself. And there are all these weird cutaways of him where you can obviously tell he's having fun. He's got this huge smile. And then it cuts away and he doesn't have the smile anymore. And you're like, oh yeah, they did this in several takes.
He was like, really, hey, funny. Baby, look at you. And anytime he looked at a mirror, it was just that look. And I was just like, this is hilarious. And he was in a wife beater and freaking boxer shorts the whole time.
Oh, God. That, I mean, he was already endeared to me because I really like Hank as a character. I'm so glad that he's in the fold. But, oh, my gosh, this episode. I'm crying. It was so good.
Well, so, no, because go ahead.
What I mean to say is, yes, when I first when this started rolling and I realized, I first surmised what the hell we had in store for us as an audience. I was like, oh shit, here's another throwaway episode where they just do a bunch of flashbacks and like reminisce, and then there's going to be some hijinks, but it's going to resolve at the end, blah, 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 and I'm just not going to like it. And then, so like, just the chemistry of the whole cast, that ensemble cast, really, really worked well. It took a mediocre plot at best and made it thoroughly entertaining. I was just thoroughly enjoyed that. Totally would watch it again. A plus, would watch it again.
And the Shakespearean quotes. I mean, they pull from every Shakespeare play ever, and I was just like, love it, all of it. And Wu was the worst. He was the worst. Not the worst that he was bad, but he was like, he was just so cheesy with the whole thing, and it was perfect. It was perfect.
And at first, it was cute, and then it got really creepy. Like,
but it still was perfect. It still was perfect. And I was just like, okay, even I would get uncomfortable. Because I adore flattery, but yeah, there's a point.
Wu. I think I've got a special place in my heart for him. Wish he were single. Anyway,
wait, he's not. How do you know?
I don't think he's single.
Okay, that's another story. So I enjoyed Nick.
No, you're listening.
I know, right? I enjoyed Nick going for Rosalie, and he was just like, what. He was so confused that she was not in love with him. He played his perfectly too. I loved his.
Yes, he did.
To put Juliet Eve with Nick, it broke my heart a little bit, because it's like all the things that we think she should have been saying, she said at that time, like, you slept with my man and blah blah blah. And I was just like, oh, this is painful.
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of over. I guess you must want them to be together in the end. I'm kind of over them.
I wish they would have just killed her, because she's still there and it's uncomfortable.
They don't know what to do with her. And it's weird because they always get to the right, like on the right track. Because remember, before she had this amnesia, this horrible death knell amnesia story, like, before that, she was starting to become kind of badass and, like, really defending herself and being, you know, a part of the group and helping to solve these cases. And I really liked that dynamic. And then suddenly they made her have amnesia, and I was, like, super
She had amnesia, and then she had amnesia twice, remember?
Oh my god, no. I must have blocked that with therapy.
That was like the second season she had true amnesia, where she, like, there was a spell or something, and then she got scratched by a cat, you remember, Adeline?
Yeah.
That was the first amnesia, and then the Eve thing, are you counting that as amnesia too?
Because
that's a split change thing.
I thought, though, that she had amnesia and then she became this hexen beast.
No. You're skipping, like, three seasons.
Oh.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is they kind of are on the right track with her, and then they take some random detour that is not enjoyable, and it never, ever is. It could be interesting, and then it turns out not to be interesting, and then they do something else with her character that's unbelievable.
Well, I was really disappointed in Nick for not standing by her, honestly, because she became a hexen beast because she stuck by him. And
right,
he could not even look, and he could not stand by her, and
right.
Then married or got in bed with or fell in love with a full-on hexen beast. Like, how is that not stupid? You know what I'm saying?
Right. But, right. It's almost as if the writers had amnesia about the plot.
I don't know
just
what they were doing.
Saying.
I don't know. Maybe somebody liked Adeline, but it was like I don't know, because you want to keep the actress, you want to give her something to do, so you put a blonde wig on her, which looks
ridiculous.
She's
super nice. in person, she's super nice.
Well, we're not talking about the actual people. We're talking about the actors.
Well, I mean,
the characters. We're talking about the characters.
I know, but I was really mean about her character. Like, I was really mean to poor Juliet when we first started watching the show, and
her
over the years,
not the actor, just the character.
I know, but I felt bad. Anyway, so she's nice in person. I still really kind of like the writers, not sure what to do with her. Don't know.
So you like the writers, they're just like, we don't know. Whatever,
I mean,
it's over.
I think she's the most likely to be a Spike and die, except for Spike was at least likable.
Are you talking about
in
Buffy?
Oh yeah, because this, well, I mean, come on. Grimm seems to be on its own sort of, like, hellmouth, and, you know, there's this ensemble cast that looks to all these books for inspiration.
Well, yeah,
as they
I guess
try.
They are an adult Scooby gang.
They definitely, Grimm has, on more than one occasion, reminded me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, because that's the last
time
I've seen that work very well.
Because Grimm is like a slayer. Blah,
yes.
Blah. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know. If somebody's going to die, which probably, don't you think? Probably one of the characters will die in the finale.
If they kill off Hank after him being the sole black guy of the cast, he's lived a long time. I thought he was going to die first season because you know about black characters, they always kill him off.
I don't think he would die, though.
What? If they kill him off, he would have no reason? I mean, no
well,
choice
I don't
but to
think
die?
They would kill him off because they know what to do with Hank, at least.
Well, I know. He's lasted the full 6 seasons, so, I mean, I hope they don't kill him off. Yeah.
But they don't know what to do with Juliet. This seems to be the perfect time. Perfect
See, this
opportunity.
Is, this is what happened. This is this, this No, this is what should happen.
Okay.
This is what should happen. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to have a reset, and we're going to reset it to the point where Juliet becomes a Hex and Bees. And then from that point on, that's where we're going to start. That's where we're going to leave it. Like, she's not going to become a Hex and Bees. She's going to be healed. And then the whole Adeline thing would have never happened. Adeline would never happen. Oh, wait a second. But the babies,
weird.
What about the 3 babies?
Oh, this is so strange because there is a date coming in the future that they've kind of teased now because of this strange Satan stick.
But it's supposed to be a healing stick, and now it's an addiction stick. Like, it only healed the first time, and now it's like, oh, if you use it, I'm going to go Dark Willow in season 6 of Buffy. Like, I don't understand. Why is it evil, this stick now?
It's the one true stick. Like, that's what it is. Yeah. In the wrong hands, it could corrupt you.
But the he's precious. The right hands because he's a Grimm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, whatever. I don't know. Okay,
they
should
if
reset
anybody's
it.
Gonna die, if anybody dies or sacrifices, it's going to be Juliet's character because they don't know what to do with her, and that seems to be, like, what she should do.
She's already pretty much dead because she can't remember shit anyway, so why she might as well die. I think, though, it should be a reset. Nick and Juliet should be back together. Adeline should get amnesia. And then they reset everything except for the triplets because we don't want them to go away. Like Marosalie, they'll be outside of the change bubble, but like Nick and Juliet will be inside the change bubble. Adeline and her mom would die. And then Kelly, the mom, Nick's mom, she would come back to life. The aunt would come back to life from first episode. Remember her? Crazy aunt.
Totally.
Crazy grandma aunt. And then, like, they can have ponies and unicorns with glitter and rainbows.
So this is happening during the reset date?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the upcoming calendar date?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, they're not going to do that because it makes no sense.
Well, I mean, it might. If Juliet doesn't die, then
they're
going to
kill Hank, and I said
Nick.
No. What? Oh, you're agreeing with me.
If she doesn't die, then she'll have to end up with Nick, and that's a problem because Adeline is in love with Nick, and I actually really like that. Although they did mention that Adeline's starting to get her Hex and Beast powers back, and it could change her, and it often does, so that might be an excuse. Adeline can turn evil yet again.
Yeah,
and
but
then
she hasn't touched that in, like, 3 episodes. We haven't even touched that in 3 episodes.
Okay, well, we have also witnessed Grimm just wrap shit up randomly and, like, not very well, and then move on to something else.
Well, I mean, we're being... so when we say not very well, and we're giving Grimm this hard time, this isn't fun. The show's fine. It's fine. But it's fine. It's enjoyable. But we're kind of... I feel like we've been watching it from the beginning, so we've earned the right to poke fun at it. So please, I just the listeners, I don't want them to think that we're trashing it. This is
the show pokes fun at itself. Yeah, and actually, honestly, that's when I like Grimm the most, is when it pokes fun at itself. So, like, that episode with the cicada, that one was an interesting one, where he was, like, feasting on a fat lady for several years.
And it was the, is that a real park in Portland with a real dude?
No, but there's a similar, there are similar parks. Yeah, I don't think that was a real guy. But yeah, definitely similar statues of dudes like that all around Portland. I think that I wasn't really thrilled that the Vessin at the end was this giant hippo. Like,
well, that's why she's big, because she's a hippo Vessin, and hippos are big, but they're beautiful.
Dude, she bit that dude's head off.
And she can defend herself.
No, again, homicide that was not even brought to justice.
So, like, have you even watched this show before? Because you complain about all the homicide, and that's what Grimm is. His aunt was murdered on the first episode. What are you talking about? The first episode was about three bears. The three bears killing people. It was like blood, just a blood trail in a forest, for Christ's sake.
People are getting away with actual literal murder on the show. Anyway, so that show wasn't, that episode wasn't.
They murdered people in Buffy.
That's true. That episode wasn't taking itself too seriously. I really loved that episode. I thought it was fun. And then this Cupid episode, I super loved it. And I think that that's Grimm in their element when they, I think all of them have a comedic flair. And they were really, really entertaining. Every single one of them, even the straight man, Rosalie, she was super entertaining to watch. And she's like, what is happening to all my friends? I'm a pregnant lady. This is not fair.
Well, you know what I like is that she wasn't all, I can't believe you were so in love with her. How dare you? Blah, blah, blah. Because she was so realistic enough to know that was a spell. No one had control over it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I'm just so glad at the end they didn't, I can't believe you wanted to kiss that bird, blah, blah. I was so glad I didn't have to hear that from her. That's what I like about Mon Rosalie.
Oh my gosh, they are so believable as a couple. They just are. They make my heart happy.
Maybe we can have some webisodes with them. Like we can get to see them have babies, because they can't have babies in the time it's going to take.
My God, wouldn't it be so fun if they have little babies?
Hey, Grimm writers, after you listen to us, we didn't trash the show, remember, we're just poking fun. Do that. Webisodes, okay?
Do webisodes for sure. Keep it in Portland or come back to Portland, because that makes the show so awesome.
Oh, because they went to Vancouver or something?
No, it's just there's rumbles in the script. You know, different characters are talking about how they have to leave, including Mon Rosalie. How they have to get out of danger zone.
What if they do the whole 20 years later, and then, like, we see them with it, and they put the, like, Mon Rosalie, they're grandparents now, and Grimm is still fighting. You know, instead of just ending it.
Oh, my God, like a Six Feet Under finale.
I didn't watch that. But I'm just saying, I've seen it done before where instead of a finale, they jump, like, so many years into the future, and we get to miss... What if they do that?
An epilogue?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what that is. Thank you.
Yeah. That would be... Yes. That would be necessary if we're actually going to wrap this up. I feel like they should stop throwing in new things if they're trying to wrap up the season. Or this whole series.
How many episodes
do we have? I'm sorry. I'm already bored of the special stick.
Oh my God. We only have 6 episodes left.
6 weeks.
So, it looks like a few more one-offs are going to be there. And the last episode is called The End.
I am going to be really happy if they make Diana grow to be a super old lady and she dies first. That would be awesome.
I want Adeline and her kids to not exist. I don't want them to die. I don't want them to be harmed, but I want Nick and Juliet back. And so if they just, I don't know, maybe get snapped out of existence. Maybe Diana was there to protect Adeline, because Adeline is from the future or past. She can go either way. And then she has to take them all back there. And then, Nick will cry because he'll lose his son, Kelly. But he'll get Juliet. They can have more
I guarantee you, Adeline's going to, get stronger and stronger in her Hex and Beast abilities. And then she's going to become evil again. And then she's going to hate Nick's guts. And she's going to try and steal Kelly. Blah, 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 blah. She's going to get back with Renard. They're going to come to some fantastical compromise. And then Juliet will be in place to be with Nick. Man, that's how that's going to go down.
Waiting in the wings, man. Couldn't be me. Nick must really lay it down. Woo!
I don't know. Or maybe magical Diana is going to do something.
That's what I'm saying. She can make them just disappear. Because if they are still on the planet, they're going to all want to be together as a family. And she's going to take her mommy, her daddy, and they're going to just fade into what he has to fade shirtless, but they will fade out of existence.
Oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if during the change between Juliet and Adeline, like, Kelly was conceived in Juliet's uterus, so Juliet's technically the mom?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And then somehow the DNA changes, and then, like, we just don't have to have this Adeline.
Actually Juliet and Nick's child.
That would be great. And then so... Yeah, because it was the witchcraft or whatever, and so they have a ready-made baby, and they're back together. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Do that, writers who've already filmed and finished. No. Who've already filmed the final episodes.
I know. We should have podcasted about this sooner. Uh-oh. Now, see, that's why they're going off the rails, because they didn't have us to listen to.
We had so much going on these past few years, but we're coming back. We're coming back, Stephanie.
It's been enjoyable. This has been super fun to catch up on, because I missed out on, like, all of season 5.
Wait a second, what?
I went back and watched it.
Oh.
When it was airing, I just became so far behind that I stopped watching it altogether.
Yeah.
And then I watched all of the episodes all at once. It was amazing.
I can't watch anything week to week that much anymore. I have to binge watch things.
Yeah, I prefer to binge watch things now. Yeah. So, anyway, it's been decent. It's been a good show. I really prefer it when it gets crazy and silly, like it has been doing.
Yeah.
I love those little one-off jokes and they don't keep them to one character. They generally keep the Portland's weird jokes to Woo, like he's the one who gets all those. But generally, the little quips, they get shared among the cast members, which is cool, because that means everybody's witty and funny.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. They do a lot of, they're successful at a lot of really good things, which is probably why it has such longevity.
And I just didn't think that show would survive, or like so many people would get it for it to be on for that long. 6 years, that's a lot. It's a lot. And I didn't think that anybody would get it for this long, and I'm super surprised it lasts this long, because usually if I like something, it's gonna get canceled.
You know what though, I'm super glad that it stayed on the air. I thought that the interest in Grimm was really localized to this area. Like, almost everyone in this city watches Grimm. It's just super fun to watch something that's set in your hometown. But apparently it's popular among all of the people.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Yeah. Really? Honestly, yeah. I was thinking, well, maybe that's the thing. Like,
so, I have a challenge for you. Since you did not get to be on set or anything, I know they're going to have a finale viewing party somewhere in Portland, and you have to go to it. Even if you have to take a day off, you have to promise right here on this podcast right now.
I will go to it.
And you have to take pictures. You have to blog it. You have to Facebook Live it. You have to Instagram, tweet, Snapchat it.
Okay, so I haven't been an extra on Grimm, but I have been at Grimm events, charity events and otherwise. Like I said, some of the cast members of Grimm have visited the children's hospital near me. I mean, I work at a hospital, just not the children's hospital. And, you know, they do that kind of stuff on the regular. And the naked bike ride and all that. That's kind of fun. They've become such a fixture here in Portland that it's hard not to interact with them in some way.
Okay, well, great. That means you have no excuse not to go to the finale viewing. And you're going to have to go there. You're going to have to do it. I demand that you do it. You have to figure out where it is. You need to start looking for it. Now, I'm serious, Stephanie. Because we're setting up this episode, so we might talk about it one more time before the series finale. But we're setting up so we can do a series finale discussion about Grimm. And then it would be very nice for you to have some local stories.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
My friends who have actually played zombies on Grimm before, they would still like to maybe come on and tell us their experience, I'm
That's
sure.
That's fine. Maybe we could do that in a couple of weeks, because I'm here.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I think, are we done talking about Grimm?
We are. We can wrap this show up if you'd like.
It's just funny. Like, we didn't stick to any kind of continuity in terms of plot.
Do we ever on this show? We jump around. We're not going to recap. If you watch Grimm, you know exactly what we're talking about. We're not going to form coherent sentences. We're not going to recap it for you. We're not going to spoon feed Grimm to you. If you're not in the know, you just don't know. And you won't know from here. From this end.
No. The good news is, folks, you didn't get spoiled. That was just speculation on what the hell to do with Juliet.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, have we ever been organized on Sci-Fi Party Line? Come on.
Well, no. Not you and me. We just have too much fun together. I don't have a set thing of notes. I'm sorry. I'm probably the most...
Oh, I had some notes, but the only thing I looked at them was to try to figure out the name of the Black Claw or whatever. And
see, that's my only commentary. They have all of that stuff. It didn't quite all seem to tie together. I think they were trying to, but they keep introducing new evil things, and those evil things weren't in cahoots with the other evil things, and so now
that's how life is. Nothing is in cahoots with another. Nothing is symmetrical.
I need one Hydra and one Avengers. That's what I need. I don't need splinters of Isis and
a Hydra. Isn't that the thing where if you cut off one head, it grows like three or something?
Science. Yes, I think a Hydra can grow back limbs or something.
So then, like, if they have various different evil things, that is, in a sense, Hydra and our Grimm team, Scooby, is, in a sense, the Avengers. So, what are you talking about?
I still stand by what I said. That was a bunch of bullshit.
You called him bullshit because you knew I was right.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, you just didn't process that info. I dropped some knowledge on you. Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking? Oh, that's not Mountain
Water.
Dew.
That is what Mountain Dew. What are you, from Texas?
Yes.
Okay, guys, we are going to wrap this show up. Unless, Stephanie, you have any more thoughts, any more shout outs, any more whatever.
Do we cover everything?
We did not. Of course, we did not. But we got the most of it out. And I think it was an enjoyable show. If it wasn't, whatever.
If it wasn't, don't leave hate mail.
Well, you can. You can send your hate mail to @StephByStereo on Twitter.
And that's cool because Steph by Stereo never goes on Twitter. Ever.
You're a miserable person.
I am. Mm-hmm. Oh, but shout out to the Sci-Fi Party Line discussion group on Facebook.
Oh my God.
That's lively and fun. It is. I enjoy it.
Oh my goodness. Maybe they'll talk about Grimm. I don't know. And so tomorrow, Stephanie, we're going to try to talk about Walking Dead.
Oh, and I wasn't invited?
Well, if you were on GroupMe and you did not have it muted, you would have gotten the notification. But you know what? That's our show, folks.
Okay, bye!
We love your feedback. Give us a call and give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook. We have a Facebook discussion group. We're on Instagram. I mean, if you still use Google Plus, okay, that's fine. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.